First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Back behind the microphone once again, Karen Cataline with you. As Mr. Announcer said, boy, oh boy, I don't know if it's an embarrassment of riches or a curse of abundance, not to be confused with a curse of awareness, but boy, we have a lot going on. I say that all the time, but when I look at my show prep, it's like, I don't know what even to talk about. I'm going to just talk about, in this first segment, the things that are most on my mind, and there's a lot. I can't talk about all of it, but I invite you in our first segment, as always, to give us a call, 603-816-1590, if you're listening live, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, at 1 p.m. Eastern at WSMN.live. Got a little frog in my throat this morning. So, I have a couple of one-shot comments. Yesterday was the 22nd anniversary of 9/11, 2001, when almost 3,000 people perished because of a terrorist attack. And the presidential potted plant, or whoever is directing him, they have been trying to distance themselves from this event and didn't even show up at any of the memorials yesterday. He was in Alaska. And they would like people to believe that American citizens who were exercising their right to peacefully protest were the real terrorists, and the terrorists that flew planes into buildings, disintegrating people and the World Trade Center 22 years ago today, we should just forget all about it. That seems to be the message. I don't have much more to say about this because I did a lot of radio yesterday on this, but it's a disgrace, and I ask you, what is their defense for this? Can they defend it? And that really is the theme for several of the things that I mean to talk about today. I guess the theme, the word, is indefensible. How is it defensible to support the policies that the left and their bandwagon is trying to push down our throats? It's not enough that the policies and the values are crazy, upside down, and insane, but they're being foisted upon everyone else, law-abiding citizens, people of faith, people who believe in right and wrong, and twisting them and exploiting them and poisoning them so that people and gullible people, young and old, think that good is bad, bad is good, up is down, right is left, in is out, being personally responsible is bad, but rioting in the streets and robbing people of less than $1,000 is good. Pornography should be prosecuted if you engage in it in your home, I guess. Child pornography. And I say no. I mean, that is the law. Engaging in child pornography, you know, Pete, you could be arrested, but if you put child pornography on grade school shelves, it's A-OK. And for what? We don't know for what. We're just supposed to go along. That was a little more on that I intended to go, but it's indefensible. These things are indefensible. Here's another indefensible. The New Mexico governor, Lujan Grisham, over somebody getting killed, an 11-year-old kid. It's a tragedy, 11-year-old child. She used it as an excuse to suspend the Second Amendment in New Mexico, right? Because we want to disarm law-abiding citizens letting dangerous, vicious criminals out of prison and out of jail. And we're going to take the moral high ground, don't you know? We're going to say that this is for your own good, and it's a public health emergency that we do this, that we disarm you. But we're going to claim that we're more morally superior than you. And we're going to buffalo a good many people into believing that if we just take guns away from law-abiding citizens who do not commit crimes, they are exercising their God-given rights to self-defense, then the world will be safer. And that is from people who have made the world excessively less safe again and again and again. Indefensible. Case in point. Case in point. Yesterday, or today, I should say, on the day after the 22nd anniversary of 9/11, our presidential potted plant decided to cut a deal with the Iranians and give back, you heard it on the news right before this, if you did, to do a prisoner swap, oh yes, and to pay them $6 billion with a B, dollars. Billion dollars. This is a terrorist nation. Terrorist nation. They're the ones who engage in terrorism against the United States. And we're going to enable and embolden and enrich our enemies, give back their prisoners, who are also, in fact, terrorists, and claim somehow that this is not only the right thing to do, but we are morally superior because we're going to make a deal handing over our national security to among our greatest enemies. And there's a track record for this kind of behavior. We did it in Afghanistan. There's a track record in this behavior. We're going to handcuff ourselves. We're going to enable and enrich our enemies because we hate this country. And meanwhile, we're going to take gullible, foolish people and tell them that we care more about values and America and democracy than anybody else. And there will be people who buy that. They never are held accountable, never held responsible. But they will convince some people, not just stupid people, but believe it or not, you can be intelligent and gullible all at the same time. I never knew that before. People that I know to be intelligent are also incredibly gullible and have been whipped up into a frenzy to hate Donald Trump. Now, mind you, they never hated Donald Trump before he was elected. He had never once been accused of being a Hitler, a Nazi, an anti-Semite, a racist, a rapist, worse than any terrorist, none of it. But for, 6 years, the media has been whipping people into a frenzy until people are out for blood. That's how you get mass psychosis. And what's the theme here, ladies and gentlemen? Indefensible. Can you really defend in any way? Now, I guess these people just don't believe they have to because they're holding the reins of power. But what they're doing to this country is indefensible. Another fraud that they perpetrate is this notion that they are the victims of their opponents who are in the minority. Yes, there is a bit of a majority in the House, but they can't affect policy. They could tighten the purse strings, and I have yet to see them do it. Maybe they will. But Republicans are not in power. There are pockets of Republicans in state government where people are flocking, mind you, but there are not. But in the federal government, the Democrats are calling all the shots. The Democrats have pretty much all the power. That is why the arsonists will never charge themselves with arson, because they're on the fire brigade. They're holding the strings of the so-called justice system, and they're deciding who's guilty and who's innocent. And I'll tell you this too, if Hunter Biden does get indicted and they throw the book at him, and if Biden steps down because of it, which has only been going on now for years, we know exactly what the Biden crime family has been up to. But if Biden doesn't run because of his unbelievable corrupt history that we all saw in public, we all saw it, it'll be because that's what the Democrats want. What I was getting ready to say, or as the Southerners say, what I was fixing to say, was that no matter how much power the left amasses, they always portray themselves as the underdog. You can watch it. You can see the tactics. They are the victims of their opponents, even though they're in power. That would be like a king of Siam, or a king. And you know, one of the royals even tried that, a prince, saying, you know what, I can't do anything and I'm a terrible victim because, you know, my slaves are harming me. It's unbelievable the fake, phony, fraudulent ideology that has been perpetrated here. Why? Because if you can claim victimhood, then in their book, you can win. So you're going to be a victim no matter how much power, no matter how much money you amass, you will still be a victim, because that is what sells today, ladies and gentlemen. And that includes giving complete pass to criminals, to scoundrels of all kinds and all races, colors, and creeds. What kind of law-abiding administration of any kind would justify and enable thieves to steal up to $1,000, right? What kind of administration with integrity would allow landlords to be forced to pay for people that didn't pay? Anyway, I gotta go. And maybe I'll organize my thoughts. We got a great guest. We're coming back right after this.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind. Like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the WASPs. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
The Reading Foundation provides evaluation and tutorial programs based upon the Orton-Gillingham philosophy of learning, based upon the study of language, how children acquire language, and the mechanisms involved in learning. All the learning pathways of the brain, visual, auditory, kinesthetic, and tactile, are addressed and strengthened to build a strong foundation for the acquisition of reading skills. If you are interested in learning more, please contact the Reading Foundation for more information. The Reading Foundation is at 10 Northern Boulevard, Unit 19, Amherst, New Hampshire, 03031. Or you can email us at readingfoundation_rf@yahoo.com. And of course, you can call anytime at 603-882-0992. The Reading Foundation, Amherst, New Hampshire.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. I've been looking forward to this next guest, and I actually requested his lovely presence. I was so glad he was able to join us. And oddly enough, I just got an email from him on exactly the thing that I wanted to talk to him about. And wonder of wonders. His name is Tim Ray, and he is the proprietor of UIMediaNetwork.com. Go there and you'll find an enormous number of resources. Their mission is to provide programs and resources to reawaken and unite people to the power of their intentions and to inspire collective actions, creating a more loving world. Boy, that's quite a tall order, Tim. Thank you for joining us here on Spouting Off.
Oh, wonderful, Kelly. Thanks for the invite, and looking forward to sharing some fun stuff and some hopefully helpful stuff for people to navigate during these kind of little uncertain times we're finding ourselves in.
Yeah, that's an understatement. We're watching, our most deepest held values under attack. I want to start, if we could, Tim, with the email that you sent. I loved it. It's exactly what I was interested in hearing about, but we'll save time so that you can help us navigate this very, very full site that you have. With a picture, no means no, and a syringe behind the back of a unknown medical professional. Who's your healthcare advocate? When you or a loved one are admitted to a hospital, do you know your rights? I've been talking about this, screaming about this for a very long time, and here you have an interview with someone who is a healthcare advocate, but I'd like to hear from you. You are on top of this issue, and I'm so glad. Tell us more about this.
No, wonderful. Yeah, it's very timely, and that's why we wanted the show with this kind of gearing up for this next set of lockdowns and masking up. Everybody's masking up. You know, the government agencies are getting directives, corporations are getting directives, and they're planning something. You know, what's coming next, we don't know for sure, but people are taking action. And if we have a repeat, what we went through in the last 3 years, it will, and if it could be worse, it will be just as disastrous because we lost our advocacy. And so I had a chance, an opportunity to bring this person who I met not too long ago Priscilla Romans, who started this organization back in 2020, in March of 2020, when this really started happening. And it's an advocacy group that basically is global. I mean, they're in every 50 states. They're in 10 different countries. And these people fight for your rights. They had example after example of patients in hospitals being put on remdesivir and the doctors not signing off on they wanted more of a more natural with vitamin C and some monoclonal antibodies, and they said no because the doctor would lose his license. They would pull him off because they got their death protocols, I call them.
They are death protocols, and there was money paid to doctors for administering them,
thank you, CARES Act,
which is horrific.
They paid $100,000 per COVID diagnosis, right? And so they would fight them, and they to the point where they would take people out of the hospitals, some big hospitals. They would actually get they didn't realize they had the right to have that person picked up by a helicopter and brought to another hospital. And wow. So these advocates know these things, and that's what they do. They stand in there because if you remember, you as a family member couldn't even go in with your loved one. Many had to die with their grandparents behind a glass door at a nursing home if they were even allowed in the nursing
There's
home.
There's only one word for that, Tim. It's an atrocity what they did.
They let people die alone.
Yeah. They sent COVID into the most vulnerable populations. They administered so-called treatments that killed people, and they still haven't been held accountable for it.
No, they haven't. Trust me, I know. I used to work in the nursing home and the senior care business, or I still do. But as a nursing home administrator, and all the way up where you oversee many more nursing homes, it's the most vulnerable. And what they did in Elmhurst, in New York, was you talk about horrific circumstances.
This was putting everyone on notice that your life doesn't matter a whit. To them,
not
a whit. And we've seen that play out. Are you familiar, we don't have to talk about it because we've talked about it a lot on this program, Scott Shara's case, his daughter. I'm assuming you're familiar with that very public case, right?
I refresh my memory because there's so many cases.
His daughter, Grace, was a Down syndrome 20-year-old
girl. Yes. Actually, we're
and they're fighting
come
it.
On in the next couple of weeks.
You what? So, oh,
yeah,
good.
That's
good. Because these one big cases represent, in many ways, all of us. Tell us before we, for a healthcare advocate to be in 50 states, I mean, this is happening in deep, dark places where nobody even knows it's happening. How can they serve so many people? What do they do to make their to get the biggest bang for the buck, so to speak?
Sure. Well, they have it's a referral. So they have 20 plus people working around the clock, and they're all in different fields in menu. Some are pediatric, some are senior, some have with heart issues now. They're realizing they need a lot with the myocarditis from the jabs. So there's so many different people on their team, but And again, I'm learning this as you're learning this, but they seem to be very well organized and very aware of what's going on in reference to why people are getting sick and how they're not getting the advocacy that they need. On top of, they're no strangers of pulling the lawyer card and lawyering down if people are not responding to what their patients want. And they learned a lot over the last 3 years and what people can and cannot do. In fact, they're so proactive, this group. And it's GRAITH, GRAITH, it's between Grace and Faith, GRAITH Care, if they want to go check it out. And if they go to our show on the network, there's a whole form. You submit the form in. The show is called, I think it's called Fighting for Your Healthcare. And you can fill the form out and the submission, and it's really doesn't cost anything.
You know what I love about this, Tim? And then we're going to talk about all that you do, because it's kind of unfair, in a way, to make you talk about somebody that you are having on, but people can watch
this
video.
I don't mind. This is so important, because we're about to be locked down again, and we're going to lose our advocacy. Yeah. And this is, This needs to be, people need to go and check it out and find out what they can do, because it's going to be so severe, I believe. I think everybody's learning from 2020, the people who have been enforcing it and also the people who've been being enforced on. And so we're gearing up for a real battle here.
Yeah, look how long it takes, too.
We need to have all our ammunition and all our information we need to be able to take this on.
Many of us who watched it happening, who saw friends and loved ones having unwanted treatments forced upon them in a hospital, which is a great nightmare, because when are you at your most vulnerable? When you are in a hospital. And we didn't know what could possibly be done. So this is miraculous that there is a group and an organization that is taking this on, and a place people can go. Talk about, I mean, unless you have more to say about that, and it is critically important.
Well, I would go watch the show. They go to uimedianetwork.com and just look for the show. It's the first show there. Just click on Watch Now, and they could see it, and they want to reach them. Just scroll down, put your information in on the submission form, and you can reach them directly, especially if you have a loved one, or if you know you're going into surgery in the near future, or someone is. But the biggest thing they're saying is to be proactive. And they're already reaching out to hospitals who have been bad hospitals in the past and telling them that we're coming after you if you don't do it right this time. This is how proactive they are. So I really, really can't promote them enough. So
it's essential.
But go ahead to your question.
Yeah. So, you know, you go in, and one more coming, you go in to the hospital for a gallbladder operation, and you come out on a ventilator, you know, you're put on a ventilator with remdesivir and stuck in it. I mean, we've heard so many horror stories with incentives by the government to force this on people, which sounds an awful lot like the old Soviet Union, any kind of communist country. And that's the most important thing, is that the message it sends is, we own you. And,
you know, we did a show, Kelly, we did a show called Murder by Numbers, and Dr. Brian Artis was on there. And plus we had people, we had actual patients who survived the remdesivir death protocols. And Dr. Brian Artis really brought it home, explaining to everyone how it works and why the hospitals are pushing remdesivir and what it does to the kidneys, and how it actually, when they get to the ventilator, that is all the drugs they're putting you on, the morphine-like type drugs that really puts you on where you can't breathe. And not to mention that it's not a respiratory issue what they put us through. It's they were envenomated, and that's why
they were what?
They're envenomated with venom. Venom. They're finding venom now in the vaccines.
We're talking euthanasia.
Yes, exactly,
and that's why
you know that they that's why they wanted to get rid of the hydroxychloroquine, and how they want to get rid of the monoclonal antibodies to not be used for treatment, is because guess what you use those for? You use that for snake bites. They use that for venom, antibiotics for venom, and that's why they were working, and that's why they didn't want them in there. This literally was euthanasia, you know, for whatever motives. But that's what they're finding out, and that's why you got to have the right advocate who knows what's going on. Because otherwise, you're putting your life and your family's life in danger when you go to the hospital, ironically.
Even when we talk about this, and I've been talking about this on and off for years now, the reason people have a hard time accepting it, except we're all watching it and living it, and it's not really hidden all that much, it's assaultive to even talk like this, let alone to think that this is a reality in the United States of America. That's why I think people have a hard time accepting it. Although, you know what? When you see it again and again and again over a period of years of being lied to, being realizing that doing the exact opposite, if they tell you get locked in your home, what you do is you go out and you get fresh air and sunshine, right? The exact opposite of what they were telling people to do.
It's Stockholm syndrome, really, Kelly. That's what we've been experiencing. That's why a lot of people go along with it. They purposefully create cognitive dissonance, so people then shut down their frontal lobe and they can't think straight. When you can't think straight, you listen to other people.
And
that's the level
scared.
Of Stockholm syndrome and cognitive dissonance they're creating. But if you could listen to everyone, just, you know, listen to what you just said, you probably should repeat what you just said, how you have to basically, the best advice you could do is do the opposite of what they're telling you to do.
How sad is
that?
It's
probably the safest bet.
Yeah. Can you imagine in 1982 if all the media said, you know, we found cyanide in Tylenol. Go out and take a Tylenol right now. That's basically what they're saying, right?
Exactly.
I'm fascinated by your website and what you do. Pick a story that you're passionate about, because I want people to go to this website and then they can partake of uimedia.com.net. Uimedianetwork.org. There you go.
Yes, and either .com or .org will bring you to the same place. But I will say this. I checked out the Frequency Wars. We just did a couple of shows. I mentioned the one, Murder by Numbers, about the hospital experience. But one we just did, this is really kind of close to my heart because it's still so many unanswered questions. We did a show on the on the truth about Maui, burning down the house, it's called. And we just did an expose on really right away, within a week after it all happened. And the conspiracy runs so deep there, from direct energy weapons to missing children to organized crime with the mayors and the police chief, who happened to be working for the false flag they did in Las Vegas. I can't make this up. It's almost like it's a movie within itself of reality. It really, science fiction has nothing on reality right now. And I would definitely take a look at that. And we cover our different range. We hit a lot of the different areas, like on Frequency Wars, information that you're just not getting. You're getting spin and propaganda from mainstream media, even in many of the truth circles, who will only go so far, to a controlled opposition level. You're getting spin, but we're owed to no one. We're subjected to no one, and that's why we're able to stay independent and uncensored.
Tim, believe it or not, it went so quickly. I got to have you back. We only have about a minute. Very quickly, what got you into this? I couldn't find a good enough bio, and I apologize for not doing you justice.
That's fine.
What got you into this?
Well, I've been into this for 30 years, basically. And I knew at 2009, it was a matter of either I was going to build a bunker or I was going to get out and start spreading the word and sharing my truth and hopefully wake people up so we don't all have to live in bunkers at some point. So, that was just preservation of self and of family and of humanity, basically. And that's kind of where I am today and what we're doing. So,
funny you mentioned
truth,
go to 2009.org
and they'll get it.
Yeah. Let me say that again. UIMedianetwork.org or .com. Funny you mentioned 2009. That was when I had the curse of awareness as well.
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. That long ago, I had this. Yeah. We'll have to talk sometime. Anyway, best of luck to you. I hope to have you on as a guest very, very soon. I do a couple of other programs.
Guys.
And keep up the great work. Tim Ray of UIMedianetwork.org. Thank you so much. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk to an old friend of ours about, nothing too serious. Well, I'll tell you about that when we get back. Don't go away.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. They're not out to tell you the truth of what's happening. They're out to tell you the picture of the world that they represent. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in facts, and prevent people from being misled. The Epoch Times is independent. We're not controlled by any special interest, and we never will be. This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would ensnare this country in ignorance, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth. Subscribe today to our digital edition at theepochtimes.com and join the Americans who are seeking truth and tradition. Read The Difference on all your devices. We'd love to have you on board.
Are you tired of the same old snacks? Looking for something a little healthier than that bag of chips or candy bar? Even your average bag of trail mix these days is little more than peanuts, raisins, and candy-coated chocolate. Not very healthy, is it? Allow me to introduce you to White Mountain Munchies. Made from 100% all-natural ingredients, White Mountain Munchies combines unique flavors with nutritional value that will tingle your taste buds and strengthen and sustain your overall health and wellness. Eating good never tasted so good. From Maggie's Maple Madness to Hannah's Heavenly Harvest, Grayson's Getaway Goodies, and our limited edition Christmas blend, Jacoby's Jolly Jumble, White Mountain Munchies offers nutritious and delicious snacks that the whole family is sure to love. Pick yours up now through our easy-to-use online store at whitemountainmunchies.com. White Mountain Munchies, non-GMO when you're on the go.
CrossNet offers IT services for small and medium-sized clients. We create tailor-made plans for your business's unique needs. From computer repairs to managing networks, servers and desktop services, CrossNet Inc. offers managed services, cybersecurity, data backups, virus, ransomware protection, web filtering, and more. For more information, go to crossnetinc.com or call for your personalized IT services today at 603-810-1000. CrossNet Inc. IT services keeps your businesses running when you are on the run.
Hello, I'm Jim Pullen of Surrogate Sons and Daughters. Are you or a loved one facing the decision to move to assisted living? As we age, we can't do it alone, and a little help can make the difference to maintain independence. Surrogate Sons and Daughters are here to help. Plainly, we are stand-in sons and daughters for hire, advocates to help you age in place. Learn more about us at surrogatesonsanddaughters.com or call me, Jim, at 603-688-7399. That's 603-688-7399.
Karen Cataline got her parents to name her Karen before she was born, so she could grow up to be a punchline. Now here's more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. I'm Karen Cataline. So much to say. Isn't it amazing? It's like in the middle of the night at 2 o'clock in the morning, you say, that's the word I wanted in the monologue. The word I wanted, and I forgot to mention it, was recalcitrant. Not that that matters now, but I'm so glad I said it. Anyway, somebody that we have on, oh my goodness, he's going to have to be a co-host pretty soon. My old friend, Ted Harvey, a former state legislator from Colorado. That's one of the reasons I know him. He was elected to the Colorado House of Representatives. He also served in the Reagan White House at the very tender age of 22. He is now retired, but he is the proprietor of the Committee to Defeat the President at StopJoe.com, and we have a lot to talk about. Hi, Ted. Good to have you on.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, it's always a pleasure. I know that you have this tremendous article about Cori Bush at Town Hall, and we're going to save time to talk about that. But I happened to come across your Twitter page, and what did I see? But you retweeted something that I thought was so critically important. I may have touched on it in my monologue, but you reposted Senator Dan Sullivan's comment, and it was so important because you do that often, and you comb the net for important things. You retweeted, on this somber, sacred day, it's outrageous and insulting that Americans receive the news that the Biden administration has cut a sweetheart $6 billion deal with Iran. While I welcome many American hostages being freed and reunited with their family, this deal with Iran only, and then it says show more, and I didn't have it. So you get to continue from Senator Dan Sullivan. This is an outrage the day after 9/11, and evidently you thought it was important enough to retweet. As the proprietor of Stop Joe, this is a very good excuse to stop Joe. What say you?
Without a doubt. And for anybody who wants to follow us on Twitter, go to defeat underscore Joe on Twitter and on Facebook and other social media platforms, the defeat underscore Joe. And this, it wasn't the day after 9/11. It was the day of 9/11. They made this announcement yesterday. And
wow.
It should outrage all Americans that, yeah. One, they were so tone deaf that they didn't know when they did this that it was on 9/11.
Oh, and they knew, Ted. You cannot tell me you think it was accidental.
Or they did know it, and right. They are so callous and so arrogant,
yes.
That they didn't care that they were
on
stepping
purpose.
On the graves
Sorry.
Of over 3,000 Americans.
Sent a message, and notice where Biden was yesterday. He wasn't at any of the memorials where people died. No, he was in Alaska. Right.
And again, is it because they are tone deaf and didn't realize that this was 9/11?
So.
His staff that scheduled that whole thing, or is it because they are so callous they could care less that they were walking on the memorial and airtime and all of that of 3,000 Americans who lost their lives on 9/11? Either way, it's outrageous and it's volumes about who this administration is and who's running this country right now.
The deliberateness with which they do things is astounding. Nothing is ever accidental. Everything is for a show, but the show is to send certain messages. And this message isn't all that different than leaving our war material in Afghanistan and giving it to our enemies and leaving our military there to die. Or to be taken hostage. The question eventually has to be asked, whose side are they on? Doesn't it?
Well, you look at what they're doing to our economy. You look at what they've increased the circulation of the U.S. dollar by over 300% in the last 3 years. They are devaluing our reserve currency status. You look at how they are drawing down our strategic oil reserves to the lowest level since we started the strategic oil reserve. What they're doing to us on an international basis is outrageous. And what they're doing in Ukraine and diminishing our military resources. Every time you turn around, doesn't matter what the topic is, they are trying to diminish the United States and, again, I ask, who is running this country? Because it is not Joe Biden. If you saw his several speeches while he was in Asia and
yes.
Then again yesterday in Alaska, the man
uh-huh.
doesn't know where he is,
no.
Much less that he's the president of the United States. So all of us should be scared. All of us should be sad, one, for Joe Biden because he has lost his mental capacity. But also we should be scared to death of who is actually running this country.
Well, that sends a message too, doesn't it? To try to pass off a person who has middle to late stage dementia, and everybody knows it, to pass off such a person as supposedly the leader of the free world is a similar thumb in the eye to every American as the thumb in the eye that was stuck in every American's eye when they're going to give $6 billion to a country that has always said death to America. And this ain't Ahmed the dead terrorist. This is a country that deals in terrorism. Where is that $6 billion going to go? To kill Americans.
That's right.
Isn't it?
That's right. And they got that money by selling oil over the years to the United States and other Western countries, and now they have been using their oil reserves to the money that they made off their oil to create havoc and terrorism all over the world. And this administration just decided to, I mean, you look at Obama, he did the same thing, sent them pallets of money.
Gee,
and
maybe
now we have Biden doing
it's the
same thing.
Administration, isn't it? Same people,
it is.
Same people in charge, same. Unelected bureaucrats doing the same thing, same agenda, with absolute hatred and disdain for this country. It doesn't take a genius, you know. Oh, my goodness. The only question
is... So that tells you,
yeah,
these Democrats are willing to risk everything by saying, let's put this man who has legitimate dementia, let's put him in office for another 6 years. Let's reelect him for another 6 years. You know, that's what they're saying. And I hope most people out there can look at how sad this guy is and say, you know, I wouldn't want to give my grandfather that much.
But it doesn't matter because people think Kamala Harris would be better or would be worse. Who thinks that the person sitting in the White House is calling the shots at this point? Does anybody?
Right. Right. They can't.
No. So.
But I've always said that I've always said Joe Biden will not be their nominee. And I believe that's still the case. I don't believe he'll be the nominee. I think that they will either bring somebody in between now and the convention, or they will bring somebody in at the convention. Because the way the Democrat Party does their superdelegates, they have enough power and enough votes just in their superdelegates to be able to anoint anybody they want as their nominee at the convention. And you may well see the Democrats do that.
Or they'll let the Republicans be the bad guys and impeach and indict him and all that. And then they'll say, oh, he has to step down because of those mean old Republicans. I mean, they're always 20 steps ahead of Republicans.
Yeah, but the Republicans don't control the Senate. And
no,
the Democrats would have to convict in the Senate for him to be impeached.
It wouldn't matter if they impeached him. Look, Biden himself said in an interview, well, I know if I don't do the right thing, I'm out of here. He said it. He had been indoctrinated to say it. He admitted it. What bothers me is the disingenuousness that people buy into, that the primaries on the Republican side and all of this going through the motions matters when you have people calling the shots who have not been elected, and yet we're going to pretend that we have, we're going to pretend that whoever they put up, if they win, that person is not going to be beholden to the people that put them there.
Anybody other than Trump, is my opinion. That's why I am so passionate about Trump winning. He is not going to be beholden to anybody. And he is the only person, he may not do it, but I think he's the only person that could do it, that would dismantle the deep state and dismantle the intelligence community that spent 6 years trying to make sure he didn't get elected. And then once he did get elected, making sure that his entire administration was held up with Mueller investigations and impeachment so that he couldn't be effective in doing what he should have been able to do. And he still was able to accomplish a lot. Despite all of that, Donald Trump, if he gets elected, will not be the naive president he was the first time around. He will go in there and he will dismantle the intelligence community.
Well, that's why they're
essentially trying
the book
to implement
him.
A coup.
Yeah, that's why they're throwing the book at him, because he is a threat.
That's exactly right.
I just want to point out the optics. I hate that word because everything in politics and media is optics. What's the optics of doing a prisoner swap of terrorists who want to kill Americans, and then putting American citizens in solitary confinement for and being uncharged and claiming that January 6th was worse than 9/11. Could it be any clearer that they're turning our entire country and world upside down and trying to lie to us? Somebody we know said, don't pee up my leg and tell me it's raining.
Yeah, they don't care. They are trying to gaslight the American people and say that anybody that supports Donald Trump is a terrorist, and anybody who tries to work with the likes of Obama and John Kerry and Joe Biden are allies. And that even means people who have been literally committing terrorism against the United States for 60 years.
We only have a couple of minutes. I want to give you time to, well, stopjoe.com, stopjoe.com. You can find everything there, Ted Harvey. I want you to make a comment in a couple of minutes because we are both Coloradans. I'm a native Coloradan. And among our worst problems are people that claimed to be a Republican and weren't. Would you like to comment at all, and you do not have to, on Congressman Ken Buck? I don't have the time to tell the whole story, but it is in the news. And I just wondered if you wanted to comment on that one.
Well, he came out and wrote a very lengthy letter against the January 6th prisoners, if you will. And I believe what he is, saying to the voters is he's no longer encumbered by a need to represent those people by whom he was elected to represent, because he's not going to run for office again in 2024. And he's telling everybody, I can do whatever I want now because I don't care. And I
has he announced that, that he's not going to run?
No, I just think that it telegraphs, that's the word I was looking for, that by saying and doing these kind of things, he's telegraphing to everybody he is not going to run.
I think he made his bones with the other side to prove to them. I think he's very valuable to them because he claims to be part of the Freedom Caucus, and yet he's disavowing everything the Freedom Caucus stands for, including
his... Don't forget, he also voted for Liz Cheney to stay in leadership. He was part of that vote, who supported that. And I was told that the former Republican gubernatorial nominee yesterday filed her intent to run in CD4 yesterday. So even she is, Heidi Gonzalez, is assuming Buck's not running again.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wouldn't bet on it. I think he made his bones. He's letting people know. And I'm sorry to say there are people that would vote for him again. Maybe not now.
At the assembly last year, you have to get 30% of the vote to get on the ballot through the assembly in Colorado. And a guy was nominated on the floor, a no-named guy from out Eastern Plains, Colorado, and Ken Buck only got 36% of the vote. He almost got knocked off the ballot by a guy who was nominated from the floor.
All right. Well, that pretty much tells you then that he's lost his support and he knows which way the wind is blowing. Ted Harvey, always a pleasure, on top of so many topics. See his story on Cori Bush at Town Hall, and go to stopjoe.org. Thank you so much, Ted Harvey, for joining us. We so appreciate it. Well, that does it for this edition of Spouting Off. Tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern, when there will be plenty, plenty more to talk about here on Spouting Off.